Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. How's it? Thank you, Matthew and the band. That was really good. Thanks for leading us. Matthew's got a really busy weekend. He just had his performance show last night, and he's leading worship tonight again. You guys must go and check out his music video. He's got a music video on YouTube, which is really anointed. I don't know, Matthew, how can we, you know? Okay, Matthew Ntumba, My Hope. That's the name of the song, My Hope. Really anointed song. You must go and listen to it. It's great to be here this morning. I realized that two people of my very first mission that I ever did are in this room. It's Bob and Villa. So it's great just to be reminded of what the Lord does and what he has done. And this morning I want to share something that I've actually shared last time when I was here. I'm sort of on the same trend. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I'm still on that track. In fact, I believe that we've got about 3-4 weeks. I so enjoyed Marty's word that we must just stay in that place. We must stay in that place of being in the presence of God. In fact, I believe just prophetically speaking, I believe we're going to go through a shift in the next 3-4 weeks where as the Jews in the desert, God supplied to them supernaturally, manna fell from the sky, and then meat. And, God supernaturally provided for them. They were in the desert and God was there. But when they got to the Jordan, just before the promised land, everything changed. Right? Suddenly, it didn't just fall from the sky. You go through seasons in your life maybe where things just happen. God just, supernaturally provides, whether it's financially or spiritually or whichever area of your life. He supernaturally does it. But then you go into the promised land, then he still supernaturally provides, but in a different way. Right? Now it was just like milk, like a little baby, the mommy brings the milk. That was the one season. But then at a time, we need to grow up. And then for the Jews, it was from manna to conquest. And so they had to go into the promised land and go and get their food, right? They had to go and take Jericho, in the fields of Jericho. That's where they got their nourishment from. So it was in their conquest that they got their nourishment. And so the dynamic changed. God didn't change, but the way that he related to the people, because the people, the Jewish people, had grown up and they started walking into what God has got for them. And so sometimes, we're used to the manna, and maybe some of us relate to this morning, but the manna's dried up. And some of us, you're thinking, well, this drying up, it's the devil. He's against me again, But I actually feel, no, it's not the devil. It's God actually allowing it. He's just putting gentle pressure on us. And don't get me wrong, God never puts us into difficult places. But sometimes he just allows it for a little while so that we begin to discover what God has placed in us. And so if the manna dries up, it's a bit of extra motivation for the Jewish people to face the giants at Jericho, right? So God sometimes just allows our circumstances to put us in a place where we have to go for it. And that's where I believe God wants us to be, is in that place where we have to go for it. But God provides for us. And so this morning again, waking us up. And I feel like after a year of meditating on Joel chapter 3, of thinking through it. If you weren't here last time, it's fine. I'll you're not going to miss out. If you were here last time, we're going to just continue from there. But after a year, I think I finally figured it out. I finally figured out what God wants for us. I really like the Flocky's illustration there of the revs. We're at 9,000, 10,000 revs. And at that place, it's really not good. The freak out happens, And, but God brings it back. He brings it back to a place of peace. And it's almost like, we there's two sort of ways to respond. The duality of man. There's the flesh response and there's the spirit response, right? You can be in a situation, and if you respond in the flesh, you know, Paul speaks about this often. Do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And there's a fleshly response. And that fleshly response could be, you know, anger, rage. It could be cracking up. It could be depression. It could be whatever the flesh does when the flesh is in the red, right? But then there's a spirit response. To the same circumstances, the same challenge, the same situation, your spirit can respond in a different way. And it's almost like God has been saying to me, maybe it's just to me this morning, but you know, I want to teach you something. I'm going to teach you to get out of the flesh response. You mustn't get into the red. You know, you're always getting into the red, but actually because you're responding in the wrong way. I'm going to bring you into the same situation, it's the same scenario, but this time you're not going to respond in the flesh. You're never going to go in the red. You're going to just be in that place where God wants you to be. So the first point that I want to touch on, let's just read Joel chapter 3 again, verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. So now I've recently, my little kids, Evan Aiden, 3 and 4, Malaya, I've shown them the movie Prince of Egypt. Who remembers that movie? It's a classic. And so what I did is every night we'd watch 10 minutes of the Prince of Egypt, and then afterwards we would reflect and we would share, and they'll say what stood out for them, what meant something to them, and then we'll sort of, you know, go through the Exodus of God's people and Moses and everything. So they really loved that story. It's really a really anointed movie. And so they've been really enjoying it. And then there's this scene where Moses comes to Pharaoh and he throws down his staff and the staff becomes a snake. And then the magicians, you know, they respond. And it's so classic to me, that scene. Because the Moses, very undramatic, takes his staff and throws it down, becomes the snake. And then Pharaoh sort of scoffs at it. He sort of mockingly says, oh, that's amazing. And then his guys come out, and they go wild. You know, they do all these, they throw the potions, and you know, they dramatic up here and there, and it's so to me how the differences of the two kingdoms operate. In, you know, God's kingdom is you know, obviously, of course there's the dramatic scenes. He opens up the Red Sea, but he you know, the devil's way is always, it's always fluff. You know, there's always all these things that happen, and it's loud, and you're sort of tempted to fall for it, but there's nothing behind it. You know, it's just noise. You know, and behind it, you know, eventually after this whole dramatic scene, you know, they've got their two snakes, and then, you know, Moses' snake comes and he eats the snake. But it was so dramatic, so impressive to me. It made such an impression on me. That's how the two kingdoms operate. God's kingdom just steadily moves on. The devil throws all his toys out of his cot. You know, it's this whole scene, but very little happens. Very little comes from it. And so now there's all these anointed songs in the movie, but now the one song that my boy will remember is that song that the magician sang. and he's walking around the house singing this song. The song goes like, we're playing with the big boys now. That's the whole song. And I think he's got a different picture. You know, he's young and he wants to play with the big boys. You know? But that's the thing that sort of struck him, is he wants to play with the big boys. And he goes, that's got nothing to do with my message this morning. But I believe that we, all of us here, we're at a certain place with the Lord. We're at a certain place in our walk where God wants to connect with us. God wants us to reconnect. And some of us are awakened. you're awakened to what God has called you to, but you're surrounded by circumstances, and it's almost like the circumstances are pulling you down. Okay? That's the one group. The other group, when I say wake up, you immediately know what I mean because you've got a reference for it. You remember a time where you were awake to God, and you really realize that you're not in that place as you were back then. And you almost think back of the good old days when you were like really awakened to what God is calling. And you remember those days where, you know, you could believe God for anything. You know, anything seemed, you know, seemed possible through God. Some of us are there. And then there's another group of us. We've connected to Christ and we connected to church, but we don't relate with that being awakened to our destiny. So I really want us just to open up our hearts this morning that the Holy Spirit would come and show us where we are at and where He wants to take us. And some of us, we're in the red. You know, we're in the red. And it really doesn't matter if you're awakened or not because you're in the red. And God just wants to come and just gently bring you back to the place of peace. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I believe in this, you know, I joked this earlier, I said, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And this world is really changing rapidly. I don't know if you've noticed. But the more it's changing, the more insane it's getting, right? People are really getting insane, you know, in terms of what they're thinking, in terms of what they're doing. I mean, just go and read the newspapers. Go look at the liberal agendas. Go and look at what happens in the world. It's really insane. And I just, over the weekend, last weekend, we were just thinking, you know, when last did you feel bored? Just put up your hand quickly. There's lots of parents in the room, so I'm sure you're not going to put up your hand. But I remember a feeling of being bored. But today you don't get that feeling anymore because the world is so engageable. I mean, at a, you know, click of a button or phone, you can be entertained. You can be connected. You can be, you know, you just never have that feeling where you just sit down and what now, right? Anyone relates with me? The world is over. There's too much information, right? The world is too busy. And I believe for our time, the Christians or the best apologetic is going to be stability. The world is going to look at the Christians and they're going to say those are the sane ones. You know, their family lives are stable. You know, they're solid like a rock. If we want to just see stability, we look at the Christians. Their businesses are going to flourish, but they're not going to be like, you know, working hours and hours. I mean, that's another area of insanity. You know, the world is getting more insane, working longer and longer and longer hours. You know, there's almost no limits. So I believe that's the role of the believers. We're going to be the sane ones. Shake someone next to you and say, it's time to get insane. Just shake someone next to you quickly. Make sure we're awakened. Okay. So the first point is awakened through prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Watchman Nee says, negligence in prayer withers the inner man. Nothing can be a substitute for it, not even Christian work. Many are so preoccupied with work that they allow little time for prayer. Prayer enables us to first inwardly overcome the enemy and then outwardly to deal with him. And so, you know, I was just, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, we had a word as a church 7 years ago. Now, 7 years is a long time. You know, who of you remember the prayers that you prayed 7 years ago? I didn't. I forgot. But when it happened, I realized, listen, we prayed those prayers. And so, long story short, We prayed, Matthew, I don't know if you remember, but we prayed twice. We went around the city and prayed at various places where the Lord showed us we need to intercede and pray. And at two different occasions, one time we felt that there are people from the occult that need to come into the church. And they, you know, it's like, it felt so real. I remember now, you know, after I was reminded, it was so real that there was this person that we felt that they need to come into the church. And almost we had this expectation that they were going to come. And then there was like, soon afterwards, I remember we this disappointment because the person didn't come. And then at another prayer meeting, we prayed in it was in Bishop's Court. And the Lord had showed us before we had to pray that there was a witch. And the witch was called the Witch of Constantia. And she was all over the newspapers and everywhere. And the Lord said, but we must pray for her salvation. That was 7 years ago. You know, and so, you know, we moved on. And, you know, you sort of, and it's sort of an analogy sometimes, you know, how we do things. Because you sort of pray things and it doesn't happen. And then you get disappointed, right? And then you sort of, you don't deal with it. You just go on. But that disappointment sticks. Who knows what I'm talking about? You trusted for something, but this disappointment. And you think you're moving on, but actually it sits there in your spirit, right? Maybe this is a word for someone. You actually need to go back and deal with that disappointment. Otherwise, you're always going to come back to God and that disappointment's going to hit you. You know, there's going to be just a slight hesitation. Can I really trust for this? Because last time it didn't happen. But now the story, the testimony is this. In about the same week or a month of each other, a woman comes into church, you know, long story short, but she really connects with God, and then manifestations. We pray for her, we pray for the Holy Spirit. She's never received the Holy Spirit, and when we pray, it's holy chaos. Or it's other chaos, not holy, unholy chaos. I won't go into the details, spare you. But any case, long story short, she connects with God. And then it comes out that she had clairvoyant powers, and she got into the occult and drugs and lots of things. And so she's consistently been coming to church now, not delivered, but afterwards she messaged us. She said, well, she prayed in the Holy Spirit for the first time after the service. And so that's the first fulfillment, someone of the occult that has come in. You know, and she's in church and connecting. And then just after that, I received an email from Angus Buchan saying that they had some sort of an outreach meeting. And this woman from Constantia that was in witchcraft got saved. And we need to follow her up, right? Now, as I said, this was 7 years ago. We had forgotten all the things that we prayed. But guess what? God doesn't forget. And so the amazing thing is, you know, again, in our modern lives, we get so busy. Our minds are so occupied that we forget. And we need to sort of come to a place where we settle down into who God is and what He's doing and connect into His flow. Because God is not confused. But firstly, we need to awaken our prayer lives. We need to be awakened to Him in personal prayer. Corporate prayer, yes, but firstly, personal prayer. I mean, corporate prayer will make sense once we have our own personal prayer right. And so the invitation this morning is to say, you know, I'm gonna take up that burden of praying. And it's not a heavy burden. It's a light thing. And I want to encourage us to get creative in the ways that you're connecting with God. If you're connecting with God and your prayer life is in a good place, and I always measure that in terms of your intimacy with God, right? If your intimacy with God is good, your prayer life will be good. Okay, if your intimacy with God is not good, you know, you will get tired in your prayer, right? When you're connected to Jesus, there's a natural flow. And so, like I said, I want to encourage you. I've just recently, you know, a couple of months ago, I started just shifting how I do my prayer time with God. I started, you know, I still have my quiet times in the morning, but I felt that God said I must every day commit to praying in the Spirit for 15 minutes. Now, 15 minutes doesn't sound a lot, but it feels a lot. You know, I remember the first couple of times, you know, this is over above my quiet time, but the first time, a couple of times, I was like, after 5 minutes, this feels too long, man. And then 10 minutes, you know, and then nothing happens. And then suddenly, after 10 minutes, you know, I connect with God. And I realized that actually, because of the lifestyle that we're in, I've stopped connecting. Because I'm so into this lifestyle that I don't connect, because I can't get my attention on God. But after 15 minutes, I've connected. And so this has grown where it's more than 15 minutes, sometimes even 40 minutes, where I just connect with God. And it's just, and sometimes I've done it more than, you know, twice or even three times a day, 15 minutes prayer. And I can't tell you how that has changed my intimacy with God and my prayer life. Just those 15 minutes. You know, and how easy actually is it to fit in 15 minutes just here and there? And, you know, I do it through, you know, the daily goings, you know, in the busyness I would, you know, escape. And I get very practical. I take my phone, because I don't know if it's like that for you, but to me, the phone is the big obstacle, you know, because like you're just busy connecting, then distraction. I've turned all the notification, everything that doesn't work. But what I do is I put my phone on a 15-minute timer. And that 15-minute timer tells me, I'm not going to do anything until that alarm goes off. And you know, like I said, it's really helped me. And so I'm not saying it's something that you should do. I'm saying find the way that you need to connect with God, right, for this season. Maybe what you used to do worked for the previous season, but now this season you need to do something different because the dynamic is different, right? So maybe your quiet time as it worked used to work. But now it's like it's just not, you're just not connecting. Find the way that you do connect to God and get creative around it. Make sure that it fits into your lifestyle. Someone said to me, I think just yesterday, you know, they connect with God and then it works for the morning. You know, and then the afternoon they just, you know, they just lose it. And I said, why don't you in lunchtime, 15 minutes, just connect with God? You know, and so small things like that can make a massive difference when we connected in an intimate relationship with God. Watchman Nee again says, to be penitent, to feel sorry for sin, to shed tears, to even make decisions does not bring in salvation. Confession, decision, and many other religious acts can never be and are not to be construed as new birth. Rational judgment, intelligent understanding, mental acceptance, or the pursuit of God, the beautiful and the true are merely solical activities if the Spirit is not reached and stirred. If the Spirit is not reached and stirred. And so many times, even in our walks with God, in our lives with God, we're busy with solical things. We're in the soul. And when we're in the soul, we get tired. When we're in the soul, we run out of steam. But when we're in the Spirit, the Bible says God renews us like the eagle. We run and we don't grow weary. We walk and we don't faint. You don't go into the red, right? You stay in the green and you operate in the green. And so many times, less is more. You do less, but you get more done. Why? Because it's not you, it's God. Sometimes God needs us to come into His stream, and then the momentum comes. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. And so the next point in this, I believe, is really important for us this morning, is waking up to a real connection with God. And the word I want to use is spontaneity. I've shared a couple of messages on this, actually, but spontaneity is that place where you and I, when we get to God, we can be ourselves. And more than that, we can allow God to be Himself. I don't know if this makes sense to you, but to me, I've figured out that in recent months, I've sort of come to this place where my relationship with God sometimes is academic. I think, well, the Scripture says this and this and this, so I'm in this situation, so surely God will say this when I come to Him with my situation of this, because the Word says this. And there's a very good rational reason why I come to this conclusion, who sort of recognize those thoughts. You sort of presume God's going to say something. And then you actually ask him, and he blows your mind. He says something completely different. Or actually, he ends up saying what you thought he would say, but you just, it's just on a completely different angle, and there's just the grace. And the psalmist, he calls it the sin of presumption. We presume we know who God is. We presume we know what he's going to say. But guess what? You cannot predict God. God's word is not given to us so that we can predict him and predict his outcome. His word is given to us so that we could know his character and his heart and his nature. But you cannot predict God. He's unpredictable. And when we get into that rut of why, when we try and predict who God is, again, we get stuck in this place of being in the red because we're in the flesh. We're in solical activities. We're not in the spirit, right? Whereas just stop for a moment and just quiet your mind, because the mind is the big challenge, right? Our mind stop, you know, you need to quiet your mind. You know, even David, he had this issue. Quiet your mind, quiet your thoughts, quiet your emotions, and say, God, what do you really say? What do you really have for me in this moment? How do you really want me to connect with these challenges, these issues, this life that I have? And then it's amazing to see how God responds to us. Jason Upton says, spontaneity is the reward for the prepared mind and heart. I'm going to say it again. Spontaneity is the reward for the prepared mind and heart. So in other words, it's not like we just pitch up. You know, it's not like the band just pitches up in the morning and then, boom, it happens. No, there's lots of preparation. You can ask Matthew in the band. There's lots of preparation. There's lots of skill that goes into it. And apart from that, there's the heart's preparation. There's the, you know, we need to get our hearts right with God, because, you know, maybe my heart's in this place, but I can't stand there and minister to God if my heart's here. So there's a lot of preparation that goes on. And the same with us in our individual lives is before you come to God, you need to prepare your heart. You need to, like I said, quiet your heart. You need to prepare your mind. You need to, the thoughts, sometimes it's lies. So often the enemy comes and he gives us, you know, he ministers to us lies about who God is. And we need to recognize those. We need to come and, you know, identify what are the things. And so there's a lot of preparedness that goes on. And so, like I explained with those 10, 15 minutes where I don't connect with God, actually what happens is for the first 10 minutes, I just prepare my mind and heart. And then suddenly, you know, the book of Acts, it said that the disciples were gathered in the upper room, they were praying, and then suddenly something happened, right? Suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came. You cannot predict God. You cannot predict when he's going to come. In a morning like this, we cannot predict when God is going to come. If we could, then we could manage God, and we really like to manage things. But God is not manageable. He's the King of Kings. I love the way we got together here this morning, and Daniel introduced us and, you know, shared about you know, the worthiness of God, and then shared about you know, just the ways of Jesus, that it's different than our ways. And then Flocky came up in the offering and he shared an aspect of who God is. And then Matthew came up and he started sharing about that Jesus is the King. And God's actually been building a picture all along. And it's just about, it's up to us to come and prepare our minds and our hearts and come on his page and to really just sit back and receive. Because, you know, when you're in the red, you cannot receive. And God wants us to become recipients again of his grace. Streams of living waters. He gives us so much that we have enough, more than enough. He starts with wells of waters. He says, if you come and drink of this, you will never run dry. Some of us, we've run dry in the ways that we've been connecting to God. But he says, you'll never be thirsty again. And then he goes on and he says, but rivers of living waters will come from your innermost being. I've prayed, you know, every night, often I pray with my son in the evenings, and You know, every night almost, we ask the Lord for living waters. You know, and so he's very, very sweet. He prays and he says, Lord, give me living waters. In the last couple of weeks, you know, it sort of evolved. He asks the Lord for living waters and living cake because he loves his cake. I don't know if I shared this once, but one night he gets really easily distracted. He's like very, you know, very excited boy. You know, he wants to do lots of, you know, busy and this. And I realized it was one of those nights where his attention's all over. And I realized I'm going to have to up my game here tonight. Otherwise, I'm not going to get his attention. And so, because I wanted to share a story with him, a biblical story. And so I thought, well, I'm going to dramatize this thing just to get his attention. And so, you know, it was Jesus getting baptized. And so I said, Jesus, you know, came to John the Baptist and then he went into the water. And then God the Father opened up the heavens. And then I paused for dramatic effect. And he immediately responds. He says, Jesus, don't eat your vegetables. Now, in his little mind, if God the Father would say one thing to Jesus, it would be, do not eat your vegetables. That is the most important thing in this life. In any case, don't eat your vegetables, Jesus. A guy called John Peters, and I'm sort of still on the subject of spontaneity. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to be spontaneous. God wants us not to come in a little method of connecting with him, in a little ritual when we connect to him. He wants us to be ourselves, right? And that's what spontaneity means. It means coming back to a real relationship with Jesus. Not a mold, not a ritual, not religion, not dead religion, but life. And so he writes this book, John Peters, and he writes this book about the greatest revival and the key players of the greatest revival. And then he calls it the six golden threads of men and women that led revivals. And he concludes the following six things. He says, these six things are what all these people that led these in various revivals around history, they had these things in common. So the first one was a submission to the teaching of the Bible. And there you begin to see again the prepared mind, submission. We renew our minds by the teaching of the Word. An openness to the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. In other words, they were all open to the working of the Holy Spirit. No matter what revival, no matter what movement, all of the great revivals, whether it's you know, the Methodist revivals with John Wesley, or whether it's the Pentecostal revival, or even the Reformation, all of them had this one thing these six things in common: submission to the teaching of the Word. They were open to the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, they had a deep devotion to prayer and worship. You see again that being prepared and that commitment to prayer, right? Prayer is not just something we do to get us something or to tick off the boxes, to have God be pleased with us. Prayer is something real. And when we really connect in prayer, it's the fuel for life. And it's that place where you come back to God and you come back to Him because you want to come back to Him. Not because you have to. The fourth one is an integrity of lifestyle in terms of a transformed behavior. In other words, what they preached was reflected in their lives. It wasn't fake. It was real. What happened in their hearts is what they shared. They didn't share stuff and not do it back at home. But it was real in all aspects of their lives. There was a transformed behavior. And then the fifth one, an intense desire to glorify Jesus. And the last one is that a real humility. And I almost want to translate that to the word brokenness. They were broken before God. In other words, they knew their inadequacies. They knew what their shortcomings were. And they knew who God was and what they needed, and that they needed Him to come into their lives. And so we see in the book of Acts, and even the Old Testament, this tension. And this is a tension I believe we really need to find in church. And the tension is between spontaneity and structure. So we have to have structure. Structure is not bad, right? When we come to church, there's a structure. You know, we start off with Daniel welcoming us, and then there's the announcements and offering, and then there's the worship, and then the sermon. And so that's a sort of a structure. Okay, structure is not bad, unless structure becomes the main thing. Structure being the main thing, we get rid of the spontaneity. Not just our own spontaneity, but God's spontaneity, God coming. So we must structure our gatherings and our private lives to allow for God's spontaneity. We must structure our meetings with an expectation that God will come and He will meet with us. So there's this tension. We need to find spontaneity and structure. It doesn't also help on the other extreme. We just pitch up, we haven't prepared anything, and now we're waiting for God to give us something. You know, that's not real spontaneity. Again, spontaneity is reserved for the prepared mind and heart, right? But we need to find that balance. And we see this happening in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Now, isn't that amazing? There was space in their structure for God to come and fill the house. And who could have imagined that God would come with a cloud? So much so that it was holy chaos. They couldn't continue to do what they were supposed to do. The structure left the room because God had entered the building. Literally. He had entered the building with the cloud. Now, isn't that something that we want to have? Amen? No? Yes? We want to have that, right? The book of Acts, suddenly, the Holy Spirit was there. Now, no one could predict. They didn't know. They just knew that Jesus said, "Go and tarry, go and wait for me in the upper room." And then they waited, and they prayed, and they were together, and then suddenly God came, because there was an expectation. The structure was halted because the spontaneity of God's Spirit. We have an expectation, but we don't know when. And we structure our gatherings with an expectation, but the experience is spontaneous. And so that brings me to the last thing. And the last thing is awakening to the gift that God has given us. And so if we can go back to, thanks, Flocky, for this analogy of the, you know, in the red. Good partnership here this morning. Thanks for the analogies. The red analogy, right? The red means we've gone into the flesh, right? We've done it in the soul. We've not relied on the spirit, and so we're in the red. And so God wants to bring us back. Okay, but now when we're back, He doesn't just want us to just rest and just be with Jesus. Yes, He wants us to be there, but you know, our peace and the real rest, Jesus says, is in the voice of God. He says, "Today, if you hear my voice, you will enter into my rest." Right? So it's not just in a place of just doing nothing. That's not rest. Some of us, we've tried to do nothing and we haven't found our rest. Jesus says, "When you hear my voice, you will enter into rest." And when we're there, now God wants to activate what is placed inside of us, right? The gift of God on our lives. And when we've come from that place, we run and we don't grow weary. We walk and we do not faint, because it's the gift of God. And we see this again in church history. We see this in churches. As soon as we get to a place where we get into organizing church as opposed to the gifts of God, spontaneity leaves. And, you know, the freedom of Christ also leaves. But when we celebrate the gifts that God has given us, each of us, different gifts, the diversity of gifts, we celebrate the gifts, then there's a dynamic that happens in church where there's freedom, where there's life, and where Christ is glorified and his kingdom comes. We, you know, one can send 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That's sort of a synergy when each of us find what we are supposed to do, and we do that. And we don't do that and some stuff in the soul, solical activities, right? We find what God has given us in the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul says to Timothy, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear." And the other translation says, "He has not given you a spirit of timidity again to fear." And the root word there, timidity, is the same word for intimidation, or the same root word as intimidation. So in other words, he's saying, God has not given you a spirit that would be intimidated, right? But he's given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, the gift in you will lift you up from a place of intimidation, right? David, standing before Goliath, he could be intimidated, but no, he's got the gift of God inside of him, a gift of leadership. And so he looks at the armies, he looks at, you know, Saul, and he says, why is no one doing something about this? Whereas they are all intimidated by the task, he stands up and he says, well, I'm not going to even get into the soul and start panicking and get into the red, but I'm going to just connect to the gift of God inside of me, and I'm going to take out that giant, right? The gift of God was stirred up in him. And you see this. We love verse 7 of 2 Timothy. We quote this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But then if you read the verse preceding, it says, therefore, Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, Timothy, I want to remind you of something that happened. There was a time when we laid hands on you and we activated the gift. And I want to tell you to stir up the gift of God, because Timothy was surrounded by people that wanted, he was intimidated. We see this in the first book of Timothy, where Paul says to him, don't let anyone despise you. Don't let them despise your youth. Don't let them despise this. And clearly there was lots of these intimidations. But the second book, he says to him, stir up the gift. That's the answer. That's the solution to the problem. There's all this, you know, people don't want to receive you. They don't want to accept you. They're intimidating you. They actually want you to fail. But here's the solution. Stir up the gift that is inside of you. And so this is this morning, the encouragement. Some of us, we feel like we can't focus on my gift, because what if it's selfish? No. God has given you the gift so that you can be the best you to change this world, right? And to change your community, to change the atmosphere. And so the challenge for us is to awaken to prayer, to get back out of the mold into the spontaneous, and then to awaken the gift that God would bring us to a place of rest, but where things happen, where his power is available to us. The amazing thing about God in his kingdom is that he's given all authority to us, right? And so I've noticed that we as Christians we gravitate, you know, we sort of do this, you know, we go from the one side where we're not concerned about the works of the devil, because now Jesus conquered it on the cross. And then the other side where we really panic, because the devil is really taking us out, right? Now, none of these extremes is the right place. There's this balance, this central place where we engage with the authority, because the authority of God is not automatic, right? Jesus has given us all authority, but it's not going to happen to you. God is not going to do it for you. He's given it to you. And we wield our authority by, you know, it's like Moses standing at the Red Sea. God doesn't open up the Red Sea until Moses takes the staff and he yields his staff. He strikes the water. He strikes the rock. is given that to him, and God's not going to do it for Moses. Moses needs to get up, walk, and take the staff and strike the sea. You know, and that's the picture for us. We've got the authority. You have the authority to conquer your circumstances, to be victorious in every sphere of your life, in every aspect of your life. But no one's going to do it for you, and it's not automatic. But it also doesn't help us to get into a victim mentality of, oh, the devil is just so, you know, he's just doing all these things, and, you know, what are we to do? But there's this place where we begin to take what Jesus has given us, and we speak it, right? We take authority over the thoughts that come. We declare and we say to whatever intimidation or spirit that is against us, we say to it, stop, you know? And you need to do it out loud. You can't, like, do it on the inside, because that's not authority. Jesus has given us the authority in our mouths to speak. But he's given us that authority. Won't you stand with me this morning? Ben, you can come up. And so this morning, you know, I can stand with you, and we can pray together, and you can have like a real experience, and you can be under God's power, and you can fall over, or whatever experience, God can take you to the third heaven. But none of those things will permanently change you unless that goes into eventuates or takes you, or where you decide, well, I'm going to take this into my prayer life. I'm going to have a consistent, continuous place where I constantly connect with God. And like I said, you know, you need to be creative. You need to find the ways that you constantly stay in that place where you hear the voice of God, where you know where he's leading you to. And so this morning, I want to invite you to bring your heart before God. The Bible says, bring your heart and not your garments. In other words, bring the internal, not the external. Don't come to God and say, God, I'm doing this, this, and this for you, and that's all the external. But bring the heart and say, God, here's my heart. I allow you to come and show me. What are you doing? You know, Jesus says, and this is Jesus, he says, I only do what I see the Father doing. This morning, you need to see what the Father is doing in your heart, and you need to align yourself and your heart to him. So let's close our eyes. And it's not about the prayer this morning. It's about the surrender this morning. It's about the surrender of our hearts, where we say, Jesus, you're knocking. And that knocking is not a knocking for unbelievers. That knocking is a knocking for believers. Lord, I've depended on the past. I've depended on an experience I had 3 years ago. But you know what? That is not enough for now. Some of us feel like the waters have dried up. The well is not doing what it had done. Some of us, someone shared this picture with me, and I believe it's for someone here. There's this well, and you know there's a well. But this well is blocked up. It's blocked up. There's just no way of getting to the water. But now God has called you, and you've been chopping away at this well and trying to get it open, and you know, you've been in there with the spades and everything, but it's really not working. But then suddenly as you just surrender and as you yield to God, God comes and he breaks open the well. And then not water, but the picture was of liquid gold that comes from this well. And it speaks about the gift, but it speaks about a dormancy. The gift of your life, you know what it is. You've felt it. You've tasted. But it's just become dormant. This morning, God wants to reawaken. And no matter where you are at, and no matter where you, how long you've walked with God, or whether it's years or not for very long, God wants to awaken the gift inside of you. And God wants to bring you to a place of rest. So, Father, we pray this morning. I want to ask if you're that person, you in the red, you could so relate with what Floki was sharing. you're in the red, and don't try and figure out why. Just recognize it. God knows why, and He knows how to get you out of it. But you're in the red this morning. You've done everything you possibly could. You've knocked away at that well, but it's just not opening up. And I want you to be honest with God and just raise both your hands to the heavens. Say, God, this morning I'm surrendering and I'm receiving. I believe that word is for several of us this morning, that you need to learn to receive again. And God's just going to quiet you. Father, we speak peace to every storm. We speak stillness to every heart right now. We thank you for the red to become green. Thank you for freedom that is in this place. Freedom in hearts. Hearts fully and completely surrendered again to you this morning. Thank you that you touch our hearts. And you renew us again. You renew us, God. Refresh us, God. Father, thank you that you stand in the boat and you calm the storm right now. All around us, the storm of our circumstances, the storm of our families, God, the storm coming through every avenue. Father, for some of us this morning, you are reminding us and giving us revelation of the authority that we have in Jesus to speak to the storm ourselves. And so this morning, I want you to respond as well. If you hear this morning and you recognize that you've neglected not just the gift, but the authority that Jesus has given you. You've allowed circumstances to dictate the moves that you make in life. And you've not been like Jesus to say to the storm to be still, because God's purposes need to be accomplished in the situation. And I want you to be in a moment of honesty. That's all God needs from us, is honesty and humility. But in honesty and humility, just to recognize and say, God, I come back to you and your ways. And like Daniel explained this morning, no one is worthy to open up the scroll. And some of us have tried, but you cannot do it. And so this morning, you need to say, God, it's your authority. It's your ways, Jesus. Show me the way. Won't you also just stretch out both your hands to heaven? Say, God, all authority has been given unto Jesus, and I take up now the staff that you've given me, God. You're a Moses, and God gives you the staff. And some of us have thrown down the staff, and you've taken up other things. You've taken up weapons because you thought, well, the enemy's going to come, and I'm going to need to be able to defend myself. God says, no, throw down your weapons. Pick up the staff, because the staff is my way. And my way is what needs to happen. My ways will open up the Red Sea. And so I want us just, actually, to just in a moment, this is family. Let's just, I want to ask us just to be like real for a moment. I want to ask us to be family. Can we just, I just believe this is a moment of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we just turn to one another and just come in repentance. I know several hands have gone up. Just in repentance, say, God, I've picked up my weapons. And I've buried your staff there in the back room. But I want to repent. And I want us to be really real with one another. And just say, God, I repent for picking up the wrong weapons. I repent for acting in fear. That is the big thing that the enemy wants. He wants us to respond in fear. If he can get that, then he can sort of steer us. And we're still busy with good stuff. But we're not busy with God's stuff. Go and take up your staff. So let's just do that if you feel comfortable this morning. Let's just pray with one another and share with one another, if that's fine. That we're not willing to settle, God. We're not willing to settle for a life without your Spirit, with a life of just the natural. But we receive that this morning, Father, that which you have provided for us, that which you have promised to us, that which you have given us. We thank you for the promise of your Spirit, God. And God, we thank you that you reawaken, refresh, renew our hearts. You revive us this morning. God, we say we're not going to depend on old wells and old waters and old things, but we thank you that Jesus has said that you have made all things new. And wherever Jesus comes, you make things new. Thank you, God, that you make things new. You give us new songs. You give us new ways, new life. That the old is gone, but the new has come. New songs, Lord. Father, even the old things become new right now. Father, those things that have become mundane, things that we've just done to go through the motions, become fresh again. As waters come into the desert, as waters come into dry lands, we thank you for life. We thank you for new life. Lord, trees and plants and new things coming up and fruit. We thank you that you've come, you've called us to bear fruit and much fruit. Where the fruit remains, God, it remains until Jesus comes back. It won't just be something that pops up and then it's gone, but it will remain. Thank you that you strengthen the feeble knees this morning. Thank you that you strengthen every heart. You strengthen us to go on, but to be strong, to be bold and to be courageous. Thank you, God, that you take us into the promised land. The old ways are gone. It's not sufficient anymore, but you take us into conquest, God, into Jericho and the cities beyond. Thank you for Joshua's and Caleb's in this house. Caleb saying that they have more strength now than they had many years ago. But they can take cities. They can take the promised land. And thank you, God, that you are the God of the open spaces. There's no limit to, Father, to that which you have. You're the God of the impossible. And Father, thank you that you stir in this place ideas, impossible things, things that we cannot do by ourselves, Lord. You stir in this place, God, the impossible. The gift of miracles, Lord. To see things in the spirit, those things that are, but they are not yet in this world. They are in the realm of the impossible, but they're not here. But the ability to take what is in the realm of the impossible and to make it possible in this life. We thank you for those gifts in this place. We stir up those gifts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen.